We left off at a cliffhanger. Let's remember where we were at. Number one, we were exploring what appeared to be the most technical of the most technical of the most technical part of our Masechta, going into the first half of the Masechta, and specifically Mikra Megillah, and subspecifically the dinim of the Hefta Shel Megillah rather than the Kriya Shel Megillah, and sub-specifically, not even like writing the letters, we were getting into hachi technical, how you stitch the pieces of parchment together, and how you, on the one hand, Tfir Begidin, on the other hand, how you prepare the parchment in advance in terms of the sirtut, the etching lines. And the Rambam had made reference as well to the question of which inks and which papers, what sort of parchment you can use. And as we began to see the first sprouting of, at the very end, the kashas that seem very, very narrow and technical can often, in the answer, bring us to very large vistas. So far, what did we see? We saw machlokas harishonim in explaining the language of the Gemara, which is also machlokas harishonim in terms of halacha lamaisa. Machlokas halacha lamaisa in hilchas sefer Torah. Rashi and the Rambam are of the opinion that, well, the Gemara Menachos and in Megillah says that the halacha, Lamoshe Misinai, when you write a mezuzah, needs sirtut, tefillin do not. Gemara leaves Sefer Torah sort of wide open. Halacha Lamaisa, Rashi and the Rambam think the Sefer Torah is the same as mezuzah, it does require sirtut. Tosus thinks that by and large it does not, maybe needs a little bit of sirtut, maybe needs a box, but certainly not the line by line sirtut that mezuzah does. So that's the machlokas halacha lemaisa in terms of this, and machlokas on a daraisa, machlokas on a halacha moshe mesinai. Whether Sefer Torah needs sirtut or not, then Tosus says largely not. Rashi Rambam say it does. That also leads into a machlok, that machlokas halacha lemaisa hilchos Sefer Torah leads into machlokas in parshanut, if you will, in terms of how to interpret the language of the Gemara. When it talks about Hilchas Megillah, Kuli Amalo Pligi, that Megillah does require Sirtut, but the question is, how is the Gemara deriving that? The Gemara in Daf Tazayin had said, Divrei Shalom V'Emes teaches that's one of the three self-descriptions that the Gemara focuses on that the Megillah gives. It describes itself as words of peace and truth, and specifically in terms of the truth, the Gemara says not just that it's true as opposed to false, but that it's similar to some other document of truths. Some other amita shel Torah, the truth of Torah, when you write it, it requires sirtut. So too, Miguel. What's this amita shel Torah? Tosus thinks that's a reference to mezuzah. Tosus thinks that Sefer Torah doesn't require sirtut. Mezuzah requires sirtut. And that's what we're saying. Just like mezuzah, which gives you the core Yisodei HaTorah, mezuzah requires sirtut, so too Megillah requires sirtut. That's the approach of Tosus. And Tosus is upset at Rashi, and he doesn't mention the Rambam, but the Rambam as well, who disagree. Rashi and the Rambam both say that Sefer Torah does require sirtut. And not Halacha L'maisa said before, the old Sefer Torah requires sirtut, but they also understand that that's what the Gemara Daf Tezayin meant. Not that we learn sirtut HaMegillah from sirtut HaMezuzah, we learn Sirtut HaMegillah from Sirtut Sefer Torah. Why is that so troubling? Because on Teftaf Tezayin, we're learning, according to Rashi and Rambam, Sirtut of a Megillah from Sirtut of a Sefer Torah, based on Divrei Shalom V'Emes. While two and a half blot later, if you want to be precise, Dafi Tesamanah from the second parak, the Gemara also talks about comparing Megillah to Sefer Torah. And there are two differences. Number one, there's a different term that we use, not Divrei Shalom V'Emes, but Sefer. And number two, the outcome is different. Divrei Shalom V'Emes tells me totally, Sirtut exactly the same, Megillah is the same as Sefer Torah. While in Daf Yates, there's this Sefer Igeres tension, and as a result, the din that we learn over there from Sefer, which is about the stitching, Tfir Begidin, it's halfway like a Sefer Torah. But not fully. He said, I need a little bit of Gidin. Sefer Torah needs to be fully Tafur Begidin, while Megillah is Chatzi Chatzi. That had been Rabbi Yotam's. Tosis' attack on Rashi, and Rambam is aligned with Rashi. Well, what do you mean? We're learning two different dinim from Megillah to Sefer Torah. So why do we need two different terms, Sefer and Emes? And why is it that with Sefer, it gets cut down to partial because of Igeras, but Sirta is a fully? So according to Rabbi Yotam, it's easy, simple. One is about Sefer Torah. It's somewhat like a Sefer Torah, and it's fully like a mezuzah. But according to Rashi, the Rambam is a problem. Tosa attacked Rashi, and the Brisker Rav, and here we're getting close to where we left off, Brisker Rav said, well, maybe we can get a little bit of insight into Rashi by looking at another Rishon who is aligned with him. That was the Rambam. That's why the Brisker Rav had opened this paragraph with a vihine. Well, let me bring in another source that will help us to understand, to build a yisod that will take us back to solve our original question. And this is where we had left off. We had seen that while it's true that in Hilchas Tefillin, in Hilchas Stam, Rambam definitely writes like Rashi, that Sefer Torah and Mezuzah both require Sirtan equally, there's still a nuance when he quotes these dinim in Hilchas Megillah. So let's pick up Hedimas Levihine, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 lines in.
El Adyesh,
yeah. El Adyesh Ledakdek Belashin Rambam. So you read the Rambam slowly and carefully. We're going to go back to read the Rambam slowly and carefully in Hilchas Tefillin also. But first he says, let's read the Rambam in Hilchas Megillah slowly and carefully. Le'inyin adinim de'en echtebes al gvil or aklav. In terms of the parchment and the ink, and in terms of enisperas el begidin, the stitching, the binding, really is what it is. Nakat belishne ke sefer Torah. We had left off with this diak that even the Rambam is distinguishing between the drasha and daf yutes and the drasha and daf tezayin. Tosas had distinguished radically. The drasha and daf yutes sefer means sefer Torah. Drasha and daf tezayin, MS means mezuzah. The Rambam, they both, and Rashi, they both refer to Sefer Torah, but when you read the Rambam slowly and carefully, you see, they both refer to Sefer Torah, but different aspects. Two dinim and a Sefer Torah. How so? Because when it comes to the parchment of the ink and the binding, then he says, ke Sefer Torah. But l'inyan adin d'tricha sirtut, it needs sirtut, he said, not ke Sefer Torah, but ke Torah atzma, like Torah itself. Tzarech bir shina halashin. You need to understand that. Obviously, there are two aspects of Sefer Torah, but it would be stereotypical bad brisker Torah, pseudo brisker Torah, just say, the two dinim, and that's the answer. Without being mazber, you can't just give a chiluk, say two dinim. What are they? Explain them, and how does each one relate?
What do we say in the surface level there?
I'm sorry?
We said that, we just say, nakat b'ksuva, sirtut nakat b'ksuva atzma.
Right, ketorah atzma. The language is ketorah atzma. Tzarech bir shein losh. We need to understand. We need some hesber. We need to understand what the two aspects of the Torah and why does sirtut relate to one while the stitching and the parchment and the ink relates to the other. Vanir l'ilma b'zeh says, here's how I think you can approach it. The other Sefer Torah by sirtut, when you say Sefer Torah requires sirtut, that's not one dinim of a Sefer Torah. What do you mean? The Rambam Rashi says Sefer Torah is requires sirtut. Well, that is the language of the Rambam. Torah itself requires sirtut. What does that mean? The Torah boy sirtut b'chsiv asa. When you write Torah, it needs sirtut. What's he driving at? So he's going to explain as he begins to look at Rayas and Nafkaminas. Davar zayesh l'mol gami divay Rambam perik. Alf minchas tefillin al achid beis. Going back to that Rambam hilchas tefillin, hilchas tam, where he had first formulated that Sefer Torah and Mezuzah both require Sirtut. You'll remember the Gemara in Menachos had said, Gemara in Megillah had said, that Mezuzah requires Sirtut, Tefillah not, based on Halacha Moshe Mesina. Okay. So that's what the Rambam writes. You have it, you have the full Nusach on the sheet if you want to see it. On the bottom. Halacha Moshe Mesina, in Kosvin Sefer Torah, Vela Mezuzah Elbe Sirtut, but Tefillah ain't Srichin Sirtut. Could have stopped right there. But he goes on to say, Lefi Shehein Mechupin. The reason why Tefillin requires Sirtut is because they're covered. Ad Kan Lashana. End of the quote.
Covered meaning the wrapped, like
the, yeah, they're inside a case, inside an opaque case.
Mezuzah is too.
Mezuzah can be, but mezuzah presumably doesn't have to be. So you're not inside an opaque case. It doesn't have to be inside a case at all. The Gemara says you can. Gemara talks in Menachas and the mezuzah, I guess, says he talks about drilling a hole into your stone wall and sliding the case in. The Gemara also talks in the Bav Metzia about having a tube. The tube is optional.
And you should have a lot of mezuzahs.
Right, right. But by tefillin, the casing is required, and the casing is mandated, and the casing is opaque. So what is it? You're right. It's interesting that where mezuzah is sometimes mechupe, and moreover, tzarechin lamala no time of tefillin fishay mechupin. What do you need a reason for? What do you have to give a reason? The reason why tefillin don't have sirtah is because they're covered? What's the reason tefillin don't have sirtah? Because
the Torah doesn't say.
Halacha Moshe Sinai was if a Torah and mezuzah yes, and tefillin no. Zazoy frekt briskirav. But came into Yisoda, didn't the sirtah say if a Torah mezuzah halacha Moshe Sinai? If the reason why say if a Torah mezuzah requires sirtah is because, as the Gemara and the Rambam say, halacha Moshe Sinai, it would tefillin like a hilchasa, and there was no similar halacha Moshe Sinai. So then they made the bo sirtah. So then they naturally don't require sirtah. But lamalan taimim bezeh. But you have to give an explanation. You don't have to give a rationale for halacha Moshe Sinai. It's not, and to maybe add a little more, Mela, if it was a din that was based on psukim, whether explicit in the psukim or drashas ha-psukim, so then we have a principle of mamatzinu. So we have examples. The Torah says, Torah talks that we have various mamatzinu klal protocol, various several of the midrash Torah and Dreshba, and several of the interpretive rules that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us through Moshe Rabbeinu for the tools that we use to mine the text of Chumash for additional nuggets of meaning. Several of those are ways of looking at specifics. Let me finish sentence, please. Looking at specifics in the Chumash as examples of larger categories rather than exclusive. The Torah might say someone lost a cow, someone lost a donkey, and we'll use one or more Mishnah Torah Reshus for them to say, if you lose a zebra, you also have a din of Hashavah Saveda. Cows and donkeys and clothing are examples of larger categories. That's Mamatzinu, maybe Klal Prat Klal. So that's those Midos, Shatara and Reshus for them, are relevant when you have a din that's in the psukim, whether it's explicit in the psukim or nidrash from the psukim. But this is halacha Moshe Sinai. That's, I think, what he means when he says, he said it very quickly, but I think that's the omek ha-pshat. V'chitayma de halacha asashminan. Why are you giving the reason, the rationale, for a halacha la Moshe Sinai? This is halacha Moshe Sinai. So whatever it was, whatever it is, that's it. We don't use mi'ishat Torah Dreshtzben halacha la Moshe Sinai. So if there's halacha Moshe Sinai, sefer Torah needs a sirtah. Okay. Halacha Moshe Sinai, mezuzah needs a sirtah. Okay. The tefillin is nonetheless. And that's the end of the story. So Briskow says, strange Rambam. Why is he giving me a reason? So what does that tell you? What it tells you is, apparently, that there was no halacha Moshe Sinai that sefer Torah requires sirtah, that mezuzah requires sirtah. Clearly, from the fact that Rambam had to explain why tefillin is not included, it must mean that the actual halacha of Moshe Sinai, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe and Har Sinai, was not a list of specific items. It wasn't Sefer Torah requires sirtut and mezuzah requires sirtut. No, so then if that were to be the case, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listed particular objects as requiring sirtut, then tefillin would be automatically excluded because it wasn't included. He says, but now the pieces are starting to come together. Based on what he said before. It's not that Sefer Torah requires Sirtut or Mezuzah requires Sirtut. Rather, Iker ha'alacha nemra al Torah atzma. Torah, Tzricha Sirtut bichsi vasa. When you, Chumash, Chamisha Chumashay Torah, when you write Torah, words of Torah require sirtut.
Why is it when we write today we need it?
Good question. We're getting to that. Say for Torah mezuzah, travayu chadam milsa ninu bezeh. There's one larger category. It's not that Hashem said, number one, say for Torah requires sirtut. Number two, mezuzah requires sirtut. them tefillin will be excluded automatically. No. Kadosh Baruch told Moshe Rabbeinu, Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, when a Jew is going to write Torah, text of Chumash, it requires sirta.
So chayav tefillin too.
Oh, exactly. So Sefer Torah is an example of the category that Kadosh Baruch Hu enumerated. Mezuzah is an example of the category that Kadosh Baruch Hu enumerated. And tefillin also should have been. Memela the gam. Tefillin hayu shayach malacha shel sirta. Tefillin should be included also. Ilav mishum taima. Ilav mishum taima dehein lechupin. If not for the fact that they are covered. If not for the fact that they are covered. Now our friend from Missouri was pointing at, well, what do you mean other parts of Torah? So the truth is, those who learn Maseches Gittin may remember in the first part, the Gemara Taka says, even if you write, Gemara's discussion, how many words of Torah in a row, you're ready, strictly speaking, at least if you're writing a klaf, maybe there are other limitations, but at least in principle, you're writing Torah, words of Chumash, yeah, that requires sirtas. It's not about the object, the physical document of a Sefer Torah or a mezuzah. It's the text of Chumash, the text of Bereishis, the text of Shmos.
Saying a tikkun doesn't have sirtas.
A tikkun does not have sirtas, right. Perhaps that's because it's not being written on cloth. But if I were to write, a number of words of Chumash on cloth, I would be required, that's the simple reading of the Gemara, I would be required to be misartet in advance. And then he goes on to say, that maybe he digs more into the details. He digs more into the details of the Gemara in Menachos, but I want to slide over to the next, the Dibra Masvul. He says, now that I'm beginning to understand Sirtut, and the nature of Sirtut at its core, the nature of Sirtut in the context of Sefer Torah, and it's not that a Sefer Torah requires Sirtut, it's that Chumash, the text of Chumash, requires Sirtut. Sefer Torah is an example of the text of Chumash written on cloth. As such, requires Sirtut. Mezuzah is another example. And in theory, Tefillin should have been another example as well. Were it not for the fact that Tefillin is excluded logically or categorically. It's an interesting category, as an aside. Interesting that's mechupin. It's covered. It means covered, therefore. So it could be what it means is maybe it's not, maybe the Rambam means is it's not, it loses some of its quality as text of Chumash if it's not accessible. It's not readable. Not that it's not legible because it's so messy, but it's not readable because the halacha mandates that it be covered. Saying and specifically, we come back to what we were saying before, covered in an opaque case.
Saying it's possible.
A tefillin are kosher. But when tefillin are kosher, tefillin are kosher. When you have kosher tefillin, they need to be written on cloth, but then the alpidin, they must be in a case that's made out of leather, and by design makes the whenever the cloth of tefillin are in use, they are unreadable. The din requires that they be unreadable. So maybe that's what the Rambam means. It loses some of the quality of being a text of Torah if it's written but inaccessible, written but unreadable. Maybe. Maybe that's what he means. Yeah, question. Maybe because it's that's a good question. Maybe because it's written adaita dahachi. This is being written adaita to be inaccessible, to be unreadable. Maybe, yeah.
When I learned this tomorrow last year, I already said that sirta is just so you're able to write it neater and more clear with the lines. But if it's not meant to be read, then it doesn't matter if it's legible or not. Maybe that's a struggle.
Maybe. It's a little hard. Yeah, it's a little hard to say that sirtut is purely just, a practicality, because that would, because if that were to be the case, so then what if I have like some sort of a frame? I have like a frame with wires going across, and I put it down the cloth, and I write, and then I stencil, and then I take it off. So is that kosher also? Hard to imagine. It sounds like there's halacha moshmi sinai. There may be some logic to it. I mean, maybe that's okay. Maybe that speaks to what the Rambam is saying. Maybe.
Does halacha moshmi sinai have the same idea that it's a chok as halacha that we got?
That's what we're talking about. Halacha moshmi sinai.
No, I'm saying it does have the same idea that it doesn't have a reason according to Rambam.
It has a category. So the question, what was the category? So we started by thinking that come on in.
This is really coincidence.
I am time for cover, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Where does that come from?
Obviously.
If you're looking for Rabbi Avi Cohen, then I can't help you. If you're looking for Rabbi Tanfum Cohen. Okay, help yourself.
All right, thank you, Rabbi.
Make yourself comfortable, find a seat. Nach to Chemish.
Thank you.
Pull up to the fireplace, so to speak. So Rabbi says, so what do we have? So as we were saying before, if the halacha Moshe Sinai would have been, as we initially thought, Sefer Torah requires Sirtut, Mezuzah requires Sirtut, so then we would not need to qualify, say Tum. But it wasn't. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the category that Kadosh, apparently, the Rambam reconstructed, that the what HaKadosh Baruch told Moshe Rabbeinu was that Torah b'chsiv asah, to use the language of Rambam, Riskrav had said earlier, Torah written Torah requires sirtut. The text of Chumash requires sirtut. And now, this is all the vihine. Right, this middle paragraph was the vihine. As I told you, vihine is usually your syntax word. That's the heads up that we're about to introduce some side marmakim to give us where we will find the yesod that we will then import, bring back with us to the original Kasha. The original Kasha was Megillah. We went to see, said, well, let's take a look at Sirtut and Sefer Torah, which again, according to Rambam and Rashi, is the source of this. And now that we appreciate the nuance, you remember, there's one aspect of nuance, by the way, we haven't yet seen, and that he's going to unpack right now. One aspect of nuance that he implied, but not yet unpacked, is we had said, well, there are two aspects of the Sefer Torah. Kesefer Torah, Ketar Atzma. So what are the two aspects? He dug into the fact that Sirta is not really a din in the object, the physical document of the Sefer Torah. Sirta is an aspect of the text of Chumash. Now we're ready to bring that back home. Ulufiya mavur near, and according to what I just explained, and again, biur is a word that recent Achrayim and Briskers in particular use in a very specific sense, both in the sense of tzarech biur. Tzarech just means avakasha. Tzarech bir means I want to understand the bir. I want to understand the underlying lumbus. What's the underlying conceptual analysis? So here, Kvishim is bar. Lefiyah mavur, we just did some bir. We gave a deeper bir in Sefer Torah with respect to Sirtut, so we can, that chakira that's emerging, we can now bring back home to Megillah. Had the Megillah nikra Sefer, v'had the Arshin mikra d'divir shal v'yemez, the two drushas, one on Daf Yotas, one on Daf Tezayin, both of which are linking Megillah to Sefer Torah. Those whom Sprach makes you tingle. There you have Tzvei Dinim, Mamish, black on white. Shneidim Nefradimim. These are two separate independent Dinim. Again, I told you, this Skirab tends to be much more explicit. Then his father is really laying it out here. These are two dinim, they're unrelated to each other. And now I think it's like, see the sparkling number of your eyes, you're starting to see it. Let's read the language of the Brisker Rav, and then we'll stop for a couple lines, and we'll stop for some questions. Obviously, I'll see you have a hand. The Amish Nadinim the Fradimim, Tzvei Dinim, Tzvei Bazundir Dinim, two separate dinim. Veloshaychli Kal Adari, totally unrelated. How so? The other nikra sefer. When I say in Daf Yutes, Megillah's nikra sefer. Who in a dinim hanemarim b'sefer Torah? The dinim of a sefer Torah, the physical document. Tuluim b'din sefer Torah shvo. Those dinim those hilchos sefer Torah that have to do with creating a sefer Torah. Those are being ported from sefer Torah to Megillah by the drasha of sefer. Valzehu the Nikra Sefer. That's what it's in that context that we say Nikra Sefer. V'din Megillah k'din Sefer Torah b'chalei l'adim. Okay, and we compare it Let's just read a few more lines together. That was the Tfir Begidin. The Rambam had also had equated as well the parchment and the ink. Whereas Hadidarshini Mikrod Divisham Yemes, the Drasha earlier Daftezayin, which the Rambam had used the moniker of Ketorah Atzma, Darika Mita Shal Torah. Torah Atzma is, once you start to think about it, a nice reflection of the language that the Gemara had used of Ka'amita Shal Torah. Not Sefer, but the MS of Torah. Sounds more like the content as opposed to the item. Not the Sefer, but the MS Shabbat, the true content. Again, Tosafot had said, Amita, that's odd terminology, Amita Shal Torah, means the core Ikari Amuna that are in Mezuzah. But the point is well taken. What does that terminology mean? It seems very poetic. This group is saying for Rambam, presumably for Rashi as well, it's not talking about specific content, but all of the content of Torah is Amita Shal Torah, but as opposed to the physical document. And he's going to unpack it, and then he's going to have an absolutely gorgeous riot. Let's see where he goes. That's Davar Achal Lagami. That's Sirtut. Nisva'eri, I already explained the previous paragraph. Deino Tali Klaba didn't say for Torah. That's not, did not say for Torah requires Sirtut. Mezuzah requires Sirtut the same way say for Torah requires Sirtut. Tefillin would have, were not for the fact that they're meant to be encased in a leather case. Torah Atzma, Torah, Chumash, Breish, Shmos, Ve'ikam, Ve'edvarm, requires Sirtut. Torah ain't a chdeves, elbe Sirtut. When you write in Torah, whether you're creating a Sefer Torah or not, when you write Chumash, need Sirtut. That's why you need another pasuk, because it's a different eret halacha. It's not about writing a sefer, not about creating a sefer Torah, but the dinim of chumash. Notice he doesn't say the Megillah. That which is written in the Megillah, meaning the text of, if you will, Sefer Esther, has similar qualities to the text of Sefer Bereishis, Sefer Shmos, Sefer Yikra, Sefer Midbar, Sefer Dvar. Oh. Ba'ofen says, okay, now let's rephrase this. Let's reformulate this. Let's put the pieces together. That din the Dirishal V'yemes, Dariyah Kamishal Torah, that drash and daf design, lo nemra kal al atzma shal Megillah. It's not a din in the Megillah itself. Rak al hadvar maksuvim ha-Megillah. The words that appear in the Megillah. It's the text of Sefer Esther. Ahi b'mei ha-chashverosh hu-ha-chashverosh. For the computer-minded, it's about the .txt file. Just the word, this string of words that make up Esther have a similar quality to the string of words, Bereishis Bara Elokim, until Einei Kol Yisrael, the string of words that make up Chamesh Shulchan Mishnei Torah. This text has similar dinim to this text. The Dvarim HaKesuvim in the Megillah, those words which are written in the Megillah, the words of Sefer Esther, are like Divrei Torah with respect to Sirtan. But din atzma shel Megillah, the physical Megillas Esther, the thing that you hold in your hand, that's not an abstraction. The text is an abstraction, a collection of words. You could have the text anywhere. You could have the text stored in digital format. You could have it on paper. You could have it on parchment. It could be the din of Sirtut only when you write on parchment. But that Sirtut is the din of the abstraction of these words, this text. But when you talk about how to create a kosher Megillah, b'chzivasa uvitfirasa, physical, visceral, a physical Megillah, the way you write it, the way you bind it, the way you stitch it, that's mikra de b'sefer u'dishamim. Aha.
That's what?
That you learn, the question of how you create a kosher document, a kosher Megillah Esther, that's learned from, also from Sefer Torah, but that's not from Divrei Shel Ve'emes, that's from Sefer. So he says, let's go a drop more. There's one raya wanting to see, and then the idea will be so much richer. Because right now you might still be feeling like this is a very much a artificial chiluk. Because you might be feeling like, you know, we're splitting hairs here. I mean, yeah, parchment has to do with how you create a physical Megillah or physical Sefer Torah. And the ink is obviously how you create a physical document. And the stitching is how you create a physical document. But frankly, so is the Sirtut. Sirta is not an abstraction. When you have the words on a computer, when you have the words in your head, there's no sirta. Sirta also is physical. So let me show now. We already said Abra Lamaisa, he hadn't said it, but I pointed out, he mentioned at the very end, sirta does it didn't say for Torah, even just even if it's not all say for Shalom, just a chunk. But he has an even more gorgeous raya. Watch this unbelievable Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is called by the Rishonim of the Sugya. And Piskarov deploys this Yerushalmi so fantastically. It's going to, what right now feels like a little bit of a forced chiluk. I mean, I understand the difference between the text, the abstract text, and the physical document, but sirta has to do with the abstract text. I mean, sirta is very physical too, like ink, like parchment, like stitching. Watch this unbelievable Yerushalmi. Wow. Watch. A few more lines. I know there are some hands. Let's just, if you'll indulge me, just give me one more movement. Uve emes. Right at the period. Uve emes shekein ha-dvarim mivu'arim lehedya. This idea that I'm putting forward, it is beferish, he says, in Yerushalmi. Perek Alef, the Megillah Halacha Alef. Yerushalmi is, or in the Yerushalmi, Mishnah is referred to as halachos. The Rambam will refer to Mishnah as halachos. That's where he got his language for his own Sefer Mishnah Torah, Prakim halachos. Tosefta is always referred to as halachos, and the Yerushalmi is arranged as halachos. Every Mishnah is a new halach. Perak Aleph, halacha Aleph, and Megillah in the Yerushalmi. Rabbi Chelber, Rabbi Yossi, B'Shem Reblazer. The Aramaic of the Yerushalmi tends to be more clipped than that of the Bavli. So we're missing some of the Amars that we would be used to in the Bavli. B'chel Reb Yossi, I believe it is, B'shem Reb Lazer, Nemar kan jivir shalom v'emes, v'nemar lahalon emes kenei, v'al timkar. The Pasuk says here in Megillas Esther, words that the Megillah's words of peace and truth. And over there, Mishle, emes kenei v'al timkar. Seek, acquire truth and don't sell it away. Share it certainly, but don't lose it. Don't give it away and not don't reduce your emes. Harehi kamita shel Torah. Ah, so apparently the Rishonim says the Rishonim emes means the Megillah's emes just like Torah's emes. Okay, so what one difference already between the Baal and Rishonim is. Is we had a pasuk on the other side of the canal. It's not just Dibushal Emes, we're comparing Amitra Torah means Emes Kineva Al Timkar. Okay, that's one thing to notice. And then watch what else Yerushalmi does. It says out, in what ways Megillah Kemitra Torah? Mazu tri chasirtut avzu tri chasirtut. Okay, just like Torah requires sirtut, so too Megillah requires sirtut. Then the Yerushalmi adds a second in. Mazu nitna lihi daresh, avzu nitna lihi daresh. Just as Torah is given to be nidrash, I mean the text of Chumash was written by Kadosh Baruch Hu in a way that it was meant to be understood in multiple layers of meaning, and it was Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Be'er Sinai, I'm telling you in advance, I'm giving you this text of Chumash, and I'm telling you that I embedded multiple layers of meaning within this text, and here are the tools that you're going to use, with Nisha Tarn Dreshesben, that you're going to use to mine the Chumash, to discover those additional nuggets of meaning that I left there for you and Chachmei HaTorah Shebechol Dar V'Dar to find. So Torah is Nitna Lehi Darish. So too, Megillas Esther is Nitna Lehi Darish. What does that tell you? He says, that knocks your socks off, the Briskerov says. The Yerushalmi is saying explicitly the way I said it. Super exciting. How so? When we say that Megillah is like a Mishal Torah, lo Megillah nemar. It's not about the physical document that Megillah says to her. The text of Sefer Esther, which is written in a Megillah, that they are like the text of Chumash. How do you know? Because we use this drash to tell you what? That you can darshan a Megillah. Why is that clearly? What's explosive about that second equation that the Rishonim made? But because clearly, darshanability, the fact that Chumash is darshanable, what Rabbi Akiva darshan, he had to look in a Sefer Torah, darshan something that didn't, this Sefer Torah can be darshan. No. I mean, it's likely, I don't know for sure, it's likely that the Tanakh did look inside, maybe even Zarim Shebech Sarim Bechuv to look inside, but when you darshan a pasuk, you're not operating on the Sefer Torah. Obviously, darshanability, the fact that there are added layers, nuggets of meaning in the Chumash that we're meant to extract, we're meant to mine the Mishnah Torah Dreshtan, it's not a quality of a physical Sefer Torah. That's a quality of Bereishis Bara Elokim and Shemayim Zaretz. That's a quality of a Yom Kippur. That's a quality of Chatzah. So the words of Chumash lend themselves to be Nidrash. Obviously, the Priskarov says that's the ultimate example of an aspect of the text of Chumash, not the physical document. Darshanability, just like, darshanability is clearly an aspect of the words of Chumash, not a physical Sefer Torah, not the physical document. The truth is, there's another Raya in the Yerushalmi, and that's the first difference between Yerushalmi and Bavli. The second difference was the Mazud and the Darj. The first difference you noticed before, Biskrov, I don't think he stresses this, but the first difference was that the Yerushalmi had added, not just Yerushalmi Emes compared to a pasuk in Mishnah, Emes Kaneva Al Timkar. So Tosis, later in the Tosis, points out, it sounds like Rashi against Tosfos, Emes Kaneva Al Timkar isn't talking about Mezuzah. Talking about Torah. Okay. And more, so, okay, maybe by Machlokes by the Yerushalmi. But more than that, when Emes Kaneva Al Timkar, now he's not talking about Mezuzah, it's also not talking about a Sefer Torah. How many people here are learning the fourth parak in Megillah? Okay, so you know there are dina beginning the fourth parak about selling a Sefer Torah. But that's not what the pasuk in Mishlei means. It doesn't mean you should buy Sefer Torah, not sell them. It means you should acquire knowledge of Torah. It's obviously talking about Torah content, Torah perspectives. But that which is written in the Torah, not the physical document. MS. That's what the Yerushalmi said. It's beautiful. The Yerushalmi, which the Rambam is aligned with, Tosis had been bothered by the Yerushalmi because it doesn't work with their understanding that the drush is from Mezuzah. The Rambam is aligned with the Yerushalmi. Kedar Kishal Rambam, the Gra writes, I think, in at least two places, probably writes in many places. I think he writes in at least two places, in one or two places. In the Be'er Gra and Shulchan Aruch, he writes in the Halachas of Basar Salman Ayin, that Darko Shal Rambam lifts Oka Yerushalmi Negra Bavli Bukam Bukamos. That when there's even a machlokas between Bavli Yerushalmi, the Rambam, unlike the Rif and other Rishonim, was not Bavli centric, and he was willing to pass like Yerushalmi against the Bavli. The Rif writes the very end of Erevin, last couple lines of Erevin, that we were willing to pass like Yerushalmi, but if it's machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi, Bavli always wins. And most later Rishonim accepted that approach to the Rif. The Rambam did not. The Rambam is very clear in a number of places that his corpus is very broad. He's looking at Mishnayos, Tosefta, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Midrash Halacha. He's not as Bavli centric, and he's even willing to paskin against the Bavli based on a different source, as the Gra points out. Here it's not necessarily Machlokas, but it's not sure, not surprising that the Rambam is plugged into that Yerushalmi. That Yerushalmi Briskarov said, it's gorgeous. That's gorgeous. That's gorgeous. So clearly, Emes Kaneva Al Timkar is very different than Nikra Sefer. Nikra Sefer means, the halachas have to do with how you create a physical Sefer Torah. The words of Chumash aren't ink on parchment. There's the idea in Kabbalah, Eishcho Agave Eish Levana. That's a metaphor for some mystical concept. But the words of Torah aren't literally on parchment and ink. They're the words of Torah. And when you write a Sefer Torah, a physical document, you can use specific parchment, specific ink. So I would have guessed, if I didn't know better, I would have guessed Sirtut also did in the physical document. But the Biskra says, look at the Yerushalmi, it's clearly not. And the truth is, even look at the Bavli and Gittin. It's not just when you write a whole Sefer Torah or a whole Mezuzah. When you're writing Torah requires Sirtut. even in a number of words of Torah. Question, how many? The number of words of Torah, ready? Require sirta. That's what he says.
But there's other halachas that are not like a sefer Torah.
Oh, very good. He says,
is that because of the,
that's why sirtut also depends on that. The heine divar Rambam shakasa the tzricha sirtut ke Torah atzma. Now we appreciate the nuance in the language of the Rambam in Hilchos Megillah. Sirtut is ke Torah atzma, while parchment, ink, and stitching are ke sefer Torah. And then he says, and that now I understand all the pieces put together. Mushav is hated, Kush is Tosfos. Why need two psukim? Why not Nikrei Sefer? And we had asked also, and why is it here it's partial, there it's whole? Oh, because dinim of Daf Yotes we're dealing with the dinim of the physical Sefer Torah. And Daf Tezai we're dealing with the dinim of the words of Chumash, the text of Chumash. Now the puzzle pieces really come together. Can remember you had been waiting very patiently, Avil?
Yes, so we say from Halach Moshe, we see that Sefer Torah.
That's another great question.
What do you ask?
So Aviel is asking, if there's a halacha moshe v'sinai, say for Torah requires sirtut, how does Tosfos disagree? Presumably Aviel means that the Rambam has a principle that there's no machlekes on halacha moshe v'sinai. Because if I say halacha moshe v'sinai, so then there's nothing to discuss. As the Tanam writing Masech Zivamis, im halacha hi nekabel din yesh tshuva. If you're chiddush, if you're telling me a din I never heard of and it's based on a drasha, a logical inference, im ledin yesh tshuva, say I can disagree. But if one Tana shows up and says I have halacha moshe v'sinai, so what are you debating? Well, I say I don't think it's right. If I trust you that you're honest. Okay, so you have a tradition that I never heard of, but you have that tradition. That's the end of the story. There's no room for discussion. So why is it that the machlokes is Tosfos and Rambam? And even more, you go back into the Gemara in Menachos, there's a machlokes about when do you have sirtut and when do you not, which according to the Rambam is very difficult. Rambam has this principle, there's no machlokes in Halacha Moshe v'Sinai. What do you mean? It's machlokes back and forth. So the answer probably is also flows from this yisod that the prescriptive developed. There was never a halacha moshe v'sinai that mezuzah requires sirtut, that sefer Torah requires sirtut. There's never a halacha moshe v'sinai that tefillin don't require sirtut. There's a halacha moshe v'sinai that Torah b'chsiv asah, the words of Chumash require sirtut. So we can all agree to that, but that's something that requires interpretation. Once we're in the world of interpretation, whether an interpretation of a pasuk or interpretation of halacha moshe v'sinai, was the world of interpretations, and there's room for machlokas. So to say I reject your halacha moshe v'sinai, that's not a valid move unless I think that you're not honest or competent. But to say that's halacha moshe v'sinai, I agree, but we have to figure out how to construe it. We have to figure out how to define it, how to formulate it. Okay, that's fair game for a machlokas on halacha moshe v'sinai. We all agree to halacha moshe v'sinai that Torah b'chsiv asah requires sirtut. But what's included? Does that include mezuzah? Does not include mezuzah? That includes, we have to find how do you define the category? Okay, so we paskin l'fi shehein mechupin that if it's encased, then it's not Torah b'chsiv asah. One can imagine, one could say otherwise. Okay, so that's why there's room for a machlokas. Very, very good. Yeah, you had a question.
No, I didn't.
Okay, other questions. Yeah.
Said it really compares the text of Megillah all the way to the Chumash, right? It makes them equal in the overall hope, like that these are words of Torah. Then why do we? There's an opinion earlier on in Megillah that says that Megillah won't be with time via that. It won't be with time via that. So I can either see that as two ways. Can we say that it's a raya because that's only about the text? The actual physical part of Megillah wouldn't be the time to be that, but the text, okay, that is like the Sefer Torah, that is like Torah, or is it Akasha and say?
Okay, good. So you're I cannot have asked for a better segue to the final movement here. So let's take the the Brisker Rav delivered to us incredible insight. Let's take it one more step. And we'll see where that takes us. The Brisker Rav had said, wow, we were so twice as attacking Rashi. What are you two looking for? And moreover, one could also ask, not you have two different psukim to say the same thing, the Megillah like a Sefer Torah, but they're not even giving the same result. By Sefer, it gets bounced back by Igaris to half. But by Divrei Shalom V'Emes, it's fully like a Sefer Torah.
75%.
Well, but not. Here you say fully, here you say partially. That's not what happens here. That's not what happens here. So what are we going to do? So Brisker Rav said, well, they really say Dinim of Sefer Torah. There's Sefer Torah, the Dinim of the construction of the physical document, physical object called a Sefer Torah. And then there's the qualities of the text of Torah. So the Brisker Rav stressed, that explains why we have two different psukim. The Rambam is using two different terms, Sefer Torah, Ketar Atma, corresponds to two different psukim. We could also use that to respond to our other question that opens up fascinating vistas. Because the other difference wasn't between the two sugars wasn't only the two different terms, but also the full versus partial. Right? So when it comes to dinim of Torah Atzma, it's fully like Torah. Megillah is fully like Torah Atzma. The words of Esther have the exact same qualities. It's not half nitin lidarish, it's not half sirta, it's full. When it comes to the physical document there, it's chatzi chatzi. Because Igeris also is a different type of physical document. There's a sefer, a formal document, and Igeris is a casual letter. That's fascinating. Because now we could take a step back and say, what's the fly? I had promised when we got started 2 days ago that we would go at Busia Machlokas and we would be in the worlds of Pirush HaGemara and Halacha Lamaisa, and also perhaps history and Hashkafa. So here we go. Now that we worked out Columbus, we can take a step back and ask, what does this mean? What larger themes is the Halacha communicating to us? So Megillah says the content of Esther has the same quality. It's fully Torah like the content of Chamisha Chumshei Torah. But the physical document of the Megillah is only partially like the physical document of the Sefer Torah. That's interesting. What does that tell you? And even, you know, to step from Dinim to Minhagim, you know, you look at a physical Megillah, it looks different. It doesn't have two Atzei Chaim. That's not a din like Tfir Begidin, but that sort of captures, a more visual capture of this idea. It's not quite the same degree of Sefer. It's fully Torah, let's reformulate that. It's fully Torah, but it's only partially a Sefer. Let's reformulate that yet again. It's fully Torah, but it's not fully, in a certain sense, Torah Shebichsav. And the truth is, Megillas Esther takes us to a period in time when, as the Shechter is fond of calling the language of the Seder Olam, which is a history attributed to one of the Tanoim, that Mishemesu Chagas Zechariah Malachi, the beginning of the second period of the second Beis Hamikdash, shortly after Nes Purim, was the very end of Nevuah. The Gemara says, Yisvachim, really, Kadosh Baruch Hu would have ended Nevuah a little earlier. But as a gift to Klal Yisrael, he sent us the last three Chagas Zechariah Malachi to bring us back to Eretz Yisrael to aid in the construction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, so Seder Olam says, Mishameso Chagas Zechariah Malachi, when these three Nevi'im passed away, Batla Nevuah, that was the end of the period of Nevuah. 1,000 years of Jewish Nevuah, a Nevuah of Am Yisrael, from Matan Torah 24:48 to the death of Malachi, which I believe was 34:48. From this point on, you're going to turn your ear to focus even more on the Torah Shema Peh. That means, various Sfarim explain, that there always had been a Torah Shebichsav and a Torah Shebapeh. Matter of fact, Hirsch points out that there may have been Torah Shebapeh before Bichsav, because according to some opinions of the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote nothing until the end of his life, but everything was Torah Shebapeh up to that point. Torah Shebapeh, Torah Shebichsav both go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. But the primary creative energies of Kali Yisrael for the first 1,000 years had been in the world of Torah Shebichsav. There had been surely conveyance and maintenance of a Torah Shebapeh, and even there had been some drashas and some dim drabanan, but the primary creative energies of Kali Yisrael for the first 1,000 years were in Nevuah, in writing new Svarim of Tanakh. And Mishamesu Chagas Karim Lev, at the end of the period of Nevuah, so we continue to learn Torah Shebichsav, but the primary focus, the primary creative energy of Kali Yisrael shifted to Torah Shebapeh. That probably corresponds, to make a long story short, because our time is tight, that probably corresponds as well to a shift in Hanhaga, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu manages our lives. Because this also corresponds to, let's say, the first base of Mikdash was Malei Nisim, not so the second base of Mikdash. There's much greater Gilui Shechina, first base of Mikdash. Second base of Mikdash, Tanakh tells us, the Gemara expands on it in Maseches Yuma, was architecturally more impressive, but spiritually less loaded. There were less, there was no Aron Begaloi, and there were fewer Nisim, there was less obvious Gilui Shechina. It was the beginning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu stepping back, moving from more of Hanhaga Nisus to more of Hanhaga Tivus. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu being more obviously involved in our lives and communicating with us directly through Nevi'im, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking a step back. He's still involved in our lives, but less obviously, and we need to seek him out more proactive than we used to. And that's the shift from, and that's part of, there's more to say about this, the shift from a focus on Nevuah, Torah Shebichsav, to focus on analytic Torah Shebapeh. Both are ways of reaching out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and connecting to Dvar Hashem. But one is more revelatory. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us directly versus we need to use our minds to figure him out, to find him.
So why is Yeshiva so much?
And the Megillah, in content and in form, captures this. The content of the Megillah is exactly this. That finding HaKadosh Baruch Hu between the lines, the whole essence of the Megillah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still taking care of us, but through totally natural means. There's no Nisim Gluim, there's no Shem Hashem Beferish, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is clearly pulling the strings. It's all Nisim to start. That's the content of the Megillah, and that's why even the format, the dinim of the Megillah capture that. It's fully Torah. But it's the Torah Shebichsav Shebo is starting not 100%. The ksiva, the physical document, chatzi chatzi, that beautifully poetic, that din, that lomdus, beautifully poetically captures that Megillah Esther is exactly captures the transition of Klal Yisrael from the period of Nevuah to the period post Nevuah. It'll be just as much Torah, Torah Shebapeh, Torah Shebichsav, and that Kadosh Baruch Hu was involved in our lives is as true and deep in a Hanhaga Tivis as in a Hanhaga Nisus, but it's less obvious. The period of focus on Torah Shebichsav is closing, the period of focus on Torah Shebichsav is opening. Absolutely Torah, but not as much Bichsav. Captured, that I believe is the Hashkafa and the history that's reflected by the Halacha and the Lamedes. Good. Chavri Yashakach. Thank you so much. We'll pick up tomorrow night with a new revival.